We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien. He's lawyer extraordinaire, attorney extraordinaire, barrister extraordinaire. He's extraordinary. All right. Also extraordinary is this, Jeff, that it took all these years until Sunday for Tony Oliva to get into baseball's Hall of Fame. He should have been there decades ago. It finally happened, and obviously it's great that it happened. It's also great that he is still alive when it happened, because there are guys who have to wait until after they're gone before they put him into the Hall of Fame. But he went in, Jim Cott went in, Minnie Minoso went in, Buck O'Neill went in, you had Gil Hodges went in, and I know I'm missing someone, but those are the ones that come to mind, and the most important for Twins fans are Tony Oliva and Jim Cott.
Yeah, it's so far as a good question. We haven't even got to the modern era candidates yet for next year. So
yes,
but you know, come next July, Cooperstown is going to be Twins territory. I mean, this is really something. I had a hunch that Tony was going to get through this time because he missed by one vote back in 2014, and it turns out, you know, Rod Crewe was going to be voting, and then, you know, Rod has a heart transplant, so he was advised by his doctor not to travel to Orlando because of COVID stuff and all that. So Bert Bylovin actually took his place on the committee. So it was Bert in the room that was advocating for both Cott and Oliva, and they got it done. And so it was the Jim Cott was a little bit surprising because he was, like, as he says himself, he wasn't the ace, but he was the durable guy. You know, he started out as a starter and ended up as a reliever and played, you know, a long time. 1959 to 1982 or three. Jeez. And I think he has the record for the longest span between World Series appearances, between 65 with the Twins and 82 with the St. Louis Cardinals. But they, you know, they rewarded longevity and durability. And, you know, you give credit, you know, that the Twins were on this, you know, the Twins really have cleared the decks of all of their legends of the, you know, the 60s and 70s. And now they can focus on, you know, more recent players. I hear that the next one is probably going to be the next debate is of course, Joe Mauer. So we'll see how that goes in the years to come. Yeah. But hey, congrats. They finally got him in.
And Morneau's on the ballot, but he's not going to get elected to the Hall of Fame.
I think Mauer eventually will, because the numbers he put up as a catcher are pretty stunning. But he's going to have to do the same thing that Tony did with injuries, right? I mean,
yes.
Statistics are great, but you know, when you think about it, you know, Tony got hurt because, you know, when you have like somebody like a Kirby Puckett or Roberto Clemente or Thurman Munson, where their career is cut short because of death or an injury, right?
Tragically,
a severe injury.
Yes.
Then you just have, you know, they're cut down in their prime, right? What happened with Tony was Tony had that knee injury. So over the last 4 years of his career, he was a shell of his former self. I mean, he was playing, I think Rod did an interview and said in 73, he basically played the season as a designated hitter on one leg.
Well,
he said they go back to the hotel and he'd go get ice and I need ice up Tony's knees because Tony was in such pain. And so that affected, I think, when you just look at him as pure statistics, you look at those last 4 years are kind of an outlier. When you look at that time from 64 to 71, it rivals anybody.
But, you know, and that's what it is. That's what they should have been looking at. The fact that he was a three-time batting champion, the fact that he's only one of three men in baseball history to lead his league in hits, the other two, Ty Cobb and Ichiro. So it's, you know, it's phenomenal what he did. So he was deserving, and it's great that he finally got in to baseball's Hall of Fame. Now, there's another player who it's been, to me, a travesty that he has not put in. He should have been put in when he was eligible. Now he would have to go to a senior committee, different Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame. I hope that at some point very soon, Chuck Foreman finds his place into the Hall of Fame, because he was an incredible player when he played. He gets hurt by the fact that he didn't just run the ball. He also was a receiver. And I think it is so wrong that these voters cannot see that distinction. The number of yards he put up combined was phenomenal. And there was a period, like a 4 or 5 year period, where he led all of the NFL in receptions, including wide receivers. He was an incredible player. And full disclosure, I do a show every Thursday with Chuck, and we talk about it, that he belongs in the Hall of Fame. And you won't get an argument from Chuck. He knows how good he was. And his numbers match up with any player from any era. He was the first great multi-purpose back that the NFL has seen.
Well, I totally agree with you, but full disclosure here, I'm his business lawyer, so what do I know? But no, I totally agree with you, Bob. And you know, and this is the, I think there's a if there's a lesson here, I think the Vikings should pay attention to this, because you know, there's the Vikings have three guys whose names continually get mentioned as should be in the Hall of Fame. It's Chuck, it's Ed White, and it's Jim Marshall. Now, from what I understand, the Vikings year after year push the candidacy of Jim Marshall and only Jim Marshall. And I'm not knocking Jim. I think Jim should have been in there a long time ago. You look at, if we're going to reward, if the Baseball Hall of Fame can reward durability and longevity by putting in Jim Cott, Football Hall of Fame should be able to recognize that with Jim Marshall.
Well, I'm going to give the reality to people, and this is a fact. Many of the players that were held back from getting in, I mean, I'm talking about Tarkin didn't get in his first year. Alan Page didn't. Carl Eller didn't. You didn't get, Bud Grant didn't get in his first year. There are every Vikings player from that era, none of them went in on the first ballot. And a lot of it had to do with two things at the time. There was a strong, because I was in that room one year when the guy from Baltimore said that John Mackey didn't belong in the Hall of Fame because he didn't have great hands. One of the greatest tight ends of all time. The guy had a problem with him, and he talked him down. Now, Sid Hartman never talked these guys down, but Sid Hartman put a lot of people off because he would start attacking them for not supporting these guys. And there was a big, big AFL-NFL rift in that room where the old NFL and AFL guys were battling, and they begrudgingly would support someone from the other league. And there was that. And here's the problem now. You know, Chuck, I think, was hurt by that a great deal. The fact that they didn't win a Super Bowl hurts. But here's the thing that hurts them now. The guy who pushes these players is Bud Grant. And Bud Grant pushes Jim Marshall because he was one of his guys, captain of his team, and he loved him. And that's understandable. But the Vikings have to do some separation here. To me, if I'm ranking those three, it's Chuck, Ed White, and then Marshall. And also the San Diego Chargers aren't doing their job either, because he played, had a really good career with them blocking for Dan Fouts, and I don't know why they're not pushing him to get in.
Well, a couple of years ago they were pushing for him, but I've had conversations with Ed as a friend, and so I understand a little bit about his process. And a couple of years ago he was being considered, and the Chargers were ready to make that push, and were told that the Vikings needed to be involved too. And when they reached out to the Vikings, the Vikings said, "We'll get back to you." And so the lesson here for the Vikings, in the last 10 years, the Twins have seen Bert Weilevin, Tony Oliva, and Jim Cott all get in. Bert got in on the last time around in the modern era, and Tony and Jim got in on this Golden Days era committee. What the Vikings should understand is there's a way to do this. You flood the zone. You push Jim, you push Chuck, you push Ed. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. What was it? 2 years ago, we had that big, huge 100-year class. They got nobody. They got nobody.
Well, they were hurt.
They've got to be smarter about their strategy.
They do, but they were hurt by, and again, he certainly pushed Mick Tinglehoff. They were hurt by Tinglehoff, I think, getting in the year before as the senior candidate. So I think the people who vote say, well, you know, they just got Tinglehoff. They don't need anyone else right now. But the fact that Chuck was not a finalist or not in, put in then, is, to me, it's a travesty, and I would put him well ahead of Drew Pearson.
Well, about a month ago, I was at an event with both Chuck and Tony. I took a picture of him. I think you've seen it. I called it the should-be Hall of Famers. We got one in. Let's see if we can finish that and make them both actual Hall of Famers.
Well, definitely needs to be finished. Jeff, as always, greatly appreciate it. Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. Take a quick break, and the BS Show will be right back.